Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the show where we talk to the voices behind the revenue, the message behind the movement, and the strategy behind the success. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and today's guest is here to shatter the myth that marketing is all about pretty logos and empty likes. If you're in the home service space, or really any space where you want your business to grow without burning you out, you're gonna wanna pay attention, because today we're talking about marketing that doesn't just look good, it performs. We're getting into what actually drives revenue, how to stand out when your industry is crowded with copycats, and what it takes to lead with clarity when the stakes are high. Today's guest is Arielle Cohen, the high voltage force behind Marketing 411. She's an award-winning marketing mentor, a strategic powerhouse, and the secret weapon behind some of the fastest growing roofing and home service companies in the United States. Arielle's built-in an agency that helps blue-collar businesses dominate saturated markets with smart branding, targeted systems, and leadership that scales. She's spoken on major stages like RoofCon and Roof Our Rise, I believe is what you call it. Roof Our Rise, that's a tongue twister. And she mentors hundreds of business owners and still finds time to host Home Service Monopoly, a podcast where she brings the heavy hitters of the industry to the mic. Whether it's turning chaos into growth, fixing broken marketing strategies, or helping business owners finally stop spinning their wheels, Arielle doesn't play small, and neither do her clients. So let's get into it. Arielle, welcome to the spotlight.
Wow, Kelly, that was an amazing introduction. I just appreciate all the thought and effort, and you really captured everything. And I'm just excited to be here and have a great conversation with you today.
I'm excited about it too. You are a powerhouse and one that has just unending energy and enthusiasm. I think everybody's going to love this conversation. And you've really built a name for yourself in a typically male-dominated industry, helping blue-collar businesses scale, which is amazing, but you got to tell me, where did this whole journey begin for you?
Yeah, so this journey begins, this is a long time in the making before being what we call a successful CEO, right? But it starts from a long time ago, at really early ages. I was always trying to figure out a way. I knew I looked different at the time. I wasn't, back in the day, it was a little bit more like, business wasn't as relaxed maybe as it is now. It was more like corporate America, dress code. And I just knew that didn't fit with who I was at the core. And so I knew I had to find an alternate way. And so naturally, from a very young age, I was always trying to think of what business could I do? What side hustle could I do from very early on? And that's really where this all started, because I went through many chapters, and to be honest, many not successes, we'll call them, many lessons to get to where I'm at today. I've had multiple companies before finally landing on one that stuck.
Love that. I love it. And I think a lot of people out there need to hear, look, these are not smooth roads, but usually those are the things you need. Sometimes the most important thing is finding out what you don't want to do or what doesn't work for you. That's really powerful. And so no one should look out there at their first attempts at anything as failures. They're just stepping stones to where you're supposed to be. And I sure think you're where you're supposed to be these days. But what pulled you towards home service world in the first place? Was it a strategic decision, or did you just see a gap in the market and think, okay, no one's doing this one. Let's go. Let's get on this.
Yes. So it happened accidentally. Sometimes the best things happen accidentally, but also not accidentally, right? I didn't mean to get into home service, into roofing specifically. I've worked with many industries throughout the course of my career, but I put myself in the right rooms with the right people, always networking, but I accidentally met my now business partner, and she had already, actually another woman in the roofing industry, had established herself as such an authority in the roofing space because she was doing this whole consulting business and roofing. The roofers really trusted her with what the knowledge she had. And so she was missing that marketing component. She knew that was something that was needed in the marketplace. And so when we connected, we were trying to find a way to work together. And naturally, we formed this really great partnership that now it's been 4 years, going on 4 years or so, that we've been together as partners in this agency. But it's her fault. I'm in the roofing industry. But I'm happy to be here. Now I live and breathe roofing, and just there's so much opportunity in the service-based businesses that people don't realize until you really get involved. And it's a really cool space to be in.
I love it. And I personally love when I find women in male-dominated businesses. I always did the same. My mom did the same. We like going after that interesting space. But tell me something. What's something that people might assume about your success that really couldn't be further from the truth?
That it was easy. It definitely was not easy. I think one of the biggest things, and that's why I want to come on here, I like to keep it real with people. I want you to understand that a lot of people, I love that picture of the iceberg, and you see the tip of the iceberg, but you don't see all the things underneath the water. And that's really all the things it took to get to this point where we're running a very successful business. There was a lot of trials and tribulations, learning, growth, like just having. The biggest blocker is really yourself. And so you have to be open to learning, to growing at any level in life and in business. And I think when you apply that, you also start to realize you are where you're meant to be. It's sometimes so, it can be so frustrating building a business, building an empire, building, getting that vision from here to real life. And you really have to get rid of the limitations that you have, be open to growth, and trust the process. It takes time. I don't know anyone that hits a home run on their first go for the most part. It's not like that. You've got to hit all the bases before you hit the home run.
So true. Exactly what you're saying. And mindset is so incredible. People use that so lightly and throw it around as if it's just some joke word. But the truth is, mindset's so important. And I love your focus on learning, because our job out here, no matter what field you're in, is going to be learning is about being interesting and being interested. And you start with being interested. So I love that you are all about that. So you talk a lot about mindset and leadership, especially when chaos hits. That's really what grabbed my attention. What's one of the hardest lessons you had to learn the long way?
Oh my God, there are so many lessons learned. If I had to pick one, and there's many, we could have a whole episode just on lessons learned. And if you're not learning lessons, I don't know what you're probably doing. You're not growing, that's for sure, because new lessons come with different growth spurts. But I would say one of the biggest lessons or things I had to overcome, I'm going to just go back to myself, because when I first started in business, it took a lot of hard work. And then that hard work started paying off. And then I started building a team. But what happened was the team was growing, the business was growing, like the revenue was growing, but I was still stuck in the mentality of operating like I was before. And that's really hard to break that habit, because I'm so used to working. Like, that's the biggest lesson, because I'm working so hard, overworking, when that's not really what's going to progress the business forward. Yes, I needed to do that when I was like, had nothing built. It was like just a vision, and I had to lay down the foundation, but I had to break that cycle to actually become a leader and someone who coaches others and gets them to fulfill their goals within our organization. It's a totally different mind shift going from just like a single entrepreneur to like actually building a company with employees or team members. And so that was, I think, one of the biggest hurdles I had to overcome. Was I had this complex of trying to always save the day and get involved, and I'm the only one who could fix the problems, rather than teaching others how, and also letting them really grow and fix the problems. And what did that result in? It resulted in burning me out, because I'm trying to fix all the problems. And you got to really know when to make that transition. And that's a mental block, right? There's people who are just as capable as you that can do things to help you. And that's really what I've seen some of the biggest, smartest people I look up to in business is they know how to delegate. And so that's become a real big passion of mine because it was such a problem I had to overcome mentally.
Oh, I love this conversation. I want to tell you, as myself as an entrepreneur and dealing with entrepreneurs day in and day out, I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing. We're so used to working 24/7. That's what it feels like. And you just get overwhelmed. There's so much work to do. And you think you're the only one that can fix this problem. You're the only one who's that committed. And the truth is, it's just mind-numbing. I love that you brought that up because it really gets down to control. Really, do you need to control everything? And how's that working for you? Because most of us, it's not. You really need to let go of some of that control so that other people feel invested in the company too, that they can fix the problems and create the solutions. And you can just hear about it. You can just be watching the show. Boy, ease. Isn't ease what we want, Ariel? We want a little bit more ease.
100%. You'd be surprised. Your team will surprise you. They might do things differently and better than you would have even done it because they're not trying to do 100 things. That's just what they're focusing on. And it's just such a beautiful thing. One of the techniques I have now is like time audits. So actually auditing your time to see where you're spending in those areas you shouldn't be spending anymore as a business owner, as an entrepreneur.
That's a great suggestion. People need to have time audits. That's very important. I love this. Now tell me, is there something that you could share with everyone that really changed everything for you, that really changed the game? A decision that you made that you felt maybe was a big risk and that you took it and it really changed everything for you?
First thing that comes to mind would be leaving a position I was really unhappy with. I was an owner in an organization. I really don't talk about this story too often, but I was just so unhappy and I couldn't figure out. It was just like certain things about how the business was being ran and just things behind the scenes and that just didn't align with my core values, my vision for where I wanted a business to be. And so I ultimately made the decision to step away from a company I owned with nothing. I took nothing. I gave them everything. I gave them all the clients. I never liked to burn bridges. I did what I felt was the right thing when stepping away because it just didn't really align with it. It wasn't making me happy. And that was a huge risk at the time because I didn't know this, but 2 weeks after I stepped away, COVID happened. And so everything shut down. And I really had this time where things paused, which is crazy because it never happens in the rat race, right? People are so busy, but everything paused with COVID. No one could leave their house at this point. And I rebuilt a whole business from scratch, a whole marketing agency from scratch from my home during that lockdown period. So everyone paused. I rebuilt. And by the time things were back up and running, I was a full-fledged company at that point again. But leaving that company due to pure happiness. It's something I feel like a lot of people could relate to, and why a lot of people end up starting their own business. And it's a very bold move. It's very scary, especially if you have people who depend on you, family. You have to really think through, and it takes guts and it takes really being confident in knowing what you're able, like what you're able to do.
I love this. This is so important for everybody to hear because the thing that is making you the most unhappy, often the key to changing that is it's time to go. And sometimes it's so hard to let go. Either you're making too much money or it's safe or you don't know where you're going to leap after this. But the truth is, if you're unhappy for long enough, it's time to start looking because no one should stay stuck. It's a big world. There are millions of things to do, millions of people to connect with. Do not fall into the trap. So is this when you started in market, you began marketing 411?
So at that time, I just started a generalist marketing agency. I had experience in so many other different industries, but I already had the infrastructure. Like I set up the infrastructure to provide marketing services. And it wasn't till later on in the year where I met my now business partner accidentally and started moving more into that space. And we formed an official partnership with Marketing 411, which just made total sense at that time. And I went all in on roofing. I'm pretty much a roofing expert now.
I love this story because people reference COVID in such a was this tragedy. And yes, it was absolutely a horrendous chapter. However, there are gifts in everything, absolutely everything. There's always my son will always say, "Ah, there's always a rainbow in your corner." Yes, there is. If you look for it, there's always a gift in that. That was our experience as well. And I love the people that, you know, it tells you a lot about people when things are difficult. What do you do with that experience? I always think of Zoom. Look at Zoom now. Can you imagine your life without it? And they really took the bullhorns and they really grabbed it and ran with it. And look, every day we can speak to people around the world so easily and have that dimension. And if it weren't for COVID, there's no way we would be this far along, and it's changed how we communicate globally. I think it's phenomenal. So there's always some gift in everything. But let's go back to marketing 411. It's become this serious engine for growth in the trades. What makes it stand out in such a crowded space?
Yeah, so I think the biggest part is we know the formula, right? We specialize in this industry. So we know what's happening in the landscape entirely of the industry. And we've built a team. We've literally built SOPs on the other side of our business. We've built SOPs and trainings teaching contractors how to run their roofing company, how to be more profitable, how to build a sales team. So understanding the business infrastructure of something helps you and is a huge benefit to actually marketing that business, because you really understand from a business owner's perspective what needs to make sense, what needs to align in a marketing strategy to hit their goals. Everything's reverse engineered. So at the start of every conversation, like when we would take on a new marketing client, we reverse engineer based on how much revenue do they want to hit, what's their average ticket size, and then from there it tells us how many sales they need per week and how many leads they need per week based on their closing rate to get that many sales. So you see how it's all broken down by numbers. There's no guessing. It's really data driven. It's very important because the data will tell you what you need to know and drives things forward. And then I think also just being creative as well, trying to do things that stand out. As you could tell, I'm not someone who tries to just fit into the crowd. I like for people to stand out. I like to stand out. And I think that's what marketing really is. How do you stand out in a crowded marketplace in any industry? And so it's important to have that creativity factor, but to also have a plan and a strategy driven by data.
You help $1 million to $10 million businesses grow. That's not startup territory anymore. What changes in the way you market at that level versus when someone's just starting out? Can you give us a couple of strategies that you use to help them scale that our listeners might be able to glean some information on and hopefully do some actionable activities with that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I'm going to even zoom out and not even apply it to roofing. I'm going to apply it to anyone who's listening to this podcast, right? Any industry, okay? You're going to go based off your revenue size a little bit, right? So if you're under that 1 million mark, okay, there's going to be a lot of guerrilla style marketing, leveraging free ways, networking, right? Doing low ticket, low cost things that can build you up to the million. Because once you get to a million, it starts to get fun. You start to have money you could reinvest into marketing, you could start building out more robust strategies. But typically in the under a million mark, you're doing things like, I just taught a lesson today, how to leverage Facebook groups for free to get business, which, by the way, we're a product of that. And other people I know, we've generated over $1 million in under a year just from Facebook groups alone, right? So there's like strategies, it costs $0. It's just time and energy. And when you're under that $1 million, you're really, your time and energy resources is the biggest leverage you need to use. So there's things like Facebook groups, obviously attending networking events. It's all about who you know and just getting in the right rooms. Those are the types of things you're doing at that mark. Then you start to grow past the million mark. And that's where it gets fun, because you start to have profitability, right? After paying yourself, you still get profitability. You could reinvest in your growth. At which point, depending on your industry, you're going to start running paid ads, right? Because paid ads is the fastest way to get in front of your audience at a huge, like a global or national scale. So at that point, once you're over that million mark, you could start investing in Facebook ads, YouTube ads, you could start posting organic content and investing in that. There's so many options. And in home services, there's something called local service ads. That's also in some of the other industries. Great resource on Google. It's the cheapest cost per lead on Google. So if it's available for your industry, that's a great starting place as well. And really what you're doing at that point over a million is you're picking a channel where you think your customer is. Where are they? Are they on Facebook? Are they on Instagram? Are they on TikTok? What are they on? And you're going to go all in on that channel, and you're going to make that channel profitable. And then once you see you're making that channel profitable, that's when I say, okay, now start building on top of that and adding more channels. And again, when revenue follows that, it becomes easier and easier to expand your marketing strategy and really have fun with it.
It hits me how much you love this, how passionate you are about this. Your enthusiasm is infectious. And I'm sure that people absolutely, once they get with you, cannot let you go. Is this what got you, you know, what got you to do a podcast? You do one called Home Service Monopoly. I've seen it. It's terrific. It really is terrific. And you talk to top performers across the trades. What made you want to launch that show? And what do you love about it most?
Yeah, so it was something I had contemplated for a while doing. Obviously, the podcasting, God, I had a pretty big growth spurt, but it's just such an amazing way to connect with people. So that I have an opportunity to connect with people in the industry that I might know and see around at the conferences, and we say, hey, what's up to each other? But now I have this opportunity to have this like deep dive conversation that helps me understand what they're doing more, creates opportunity, and really allows for that genuine connection. So that was first and foremost. And then obviously to impact the actual industry with great quality content, pushing out this value. I'm very value first. So I try to provide value and give insights to people. And then in return, well, hopefully at some point, if I did my job right by giving you enough value, we're going to do business together. So that was, I think, the starting point of the podcast, but there's just so much value in connection with people and using your platform. So I want to touch on one really important point. I can't tell you how many business owners, entrepreneurs, coaches do this thing that nobody knows about. Even their closest friends from high school, college, distant cousins, they don't even know they do that. And so using a podcast to get more media out there so more people know what I do was really another big step. It should be, everybody should know what you do. And having a way to amplify your message and content is a great way to do it.
This just leads into the power of public speaking. Of course it does, but I agree with you. The thing about podcasting, it's such an intimate platform. I love it because really, when you get finished listening to this episode, you will really feel, the audience will feel like they really know you. They really hear your passion in what you do, and they get an idea of how you work, what you find is important, and that you really give value. I think that's why I love this pretty much above most other types of public speaking, because it's real, it's intimate. You really get a chance to feel like you're sitting at the table. And if the podcasting host is good at what they do, they're really asking the questions that will bring out what the audience really wants to know anyway. And I know that you're fabulous at doing that. I look at, it's a gift that you create space for those stories that allow people to get to know your guests and then want to do business with them, but to really feel like, oh, I know who I'm talking to when I pick up the phone to call that vendor or that roofer, I think is beautiful what you've done. Now talk to me about public speaking. You have quite the following now. You've taken to the stage at RoofCon and Roofer Rise. And what's the biggest shift that's happened for you personally or professionally because of public speaking?
Yeah, so I just think it's such a good opportunity. And I know speaking is something people are very scared of. It's the number one fear, which we all know, and I get it, but it's just the opportunities with public speaking. It's provided. So there's a little saying some of my friends and I say, and it's stage time is money time. And most likely, if you're in a business, you want to do one of two things. You're trying to help people and make money. Usually those two things together, separate, whatever the case may be. And so being on a stage allows you to get your message out to people, but it builds this authority, this trust that you are the expert in what you do. And whether it's on the stage in person or even a podcast like this, it's, let me tell you something, okay? People, your close rate will go up so much higher. If you're selling a product, service, coaching, whatever it may be, if you have content out there like this podcast, like getting on the stage, that sales conversation no longer has to be an uncomfortable sales conversation. People come to it already excited. They already know your personality. They already got value from you. And really now it's just about, okay, what do we need to do from here? And it makes that process easier I'll get on the phone with people now because of my presence on stages, on podcasts, in media, and they'll say, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much for taking your time. I know how busy you are. Like, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to sign up because I already trust you. I've seen what you've done, your content." And so that's what the stage opportunity really provides. And then the other thing it provides is, especially the podcast, is something I was always brought up. My family's from New York, so you'll understand this. Is my grandpa always told me, if you can't get in the front door, you find a way in, no matter what. Like, you go through the side door, the back door, but you got to get a way in. And so for people who are in industries where it's hard to get a hold of your ideal, like that person you want to talk to, because you can't just get in to sell them. That's not how it works. There's gatekeepers. Guess what? When you invite someone to a podcast, it opens that door immediately. And so you're able to build these connections that you wouldn't have been able to build if you weren't on the stage, if you didn't have the podcast, if you didn't do these things to show you're an authority and get that way in.
You could not be more right. It's that having a podcast is really a gift because you're not calling necessarily for a sale. You're not calling. You're actually to be able to invite them to a show where you're going to highlight them. It's the easiest intro and it's real. And if you take good care of them on your show, you will find they will love to do business with you because you've given first, which I think is a win. That's usually a win. Now you've got this kind of delicious, bold, confident energy, and it really translates well on stage. I gotta ask you, has that always come naturally to you, or was it something that you had to train like a muscle?
Yeah, so I talked about early on, I've had a lot of trials and tribulations building a business and getting to this point. When it comes to speaking, that was not the case. I did have a little bit, I'm not gonna lie to people, I had a natural like ability to speak. It wasn't something that was a fear of mine. But that doesn't mean I still have to and still am continuously getting better at it. Okay, so eliminating saying things like being intentional with what I'm saying, making sure I'm really feeding off the room and learning what people like and what they're responsive to. And so I'm always asking for feedback on my presentation so I can improve. But naturally, I did love being in front of people. I did love sharing my message because I'm so passionate about it that I feel like everyone needs to know. And that made it easy to speak about something I love. But I'm always getting better. I'm always, right when I get off the stage, I turn to my fiance and I say, "What could I have done better?" That's my first question every single time.
Fantastic. And that's really how you have to look at it is that really, this is not something nobody starts out of the gate being incredibly charismatic and putting on a brilliant presentation. The more you do it, the better you get. And really, the truth is, the more confident you get, it becomes easier. And the audience picks up on that. They can see your confidence. I'm going to ask you a question that I don't ask too many people, but I feel like you might be able to give us a little gift here. What's one story that you told on stage that you weren't sure that it would land, but it ended up resonating really hard with an audience? I'd love it. I know you don't have any warning about that, but I can imagine that you think things through in advance, even though you know about how to fly by the seat of your pants. You still are a gal that is a thinker. And I'd love to know that. Is if any chance you've got a story you could share about that?
Yeah, I have actually two quick ones. First one is asked, I started a presentation recently just testing it out, and the very first slide just said, "Are you happy?" And what I did there was I was testing tying the emotion of happiness into, "Are you happy with your marketing?" And then I tied that into what the problems you have. This was a group of business owners who were trying to learn how to grow their business. So I started with, "Are you happy?" And that got them thinking and pulled the emotion in. And then I said, "Okay, are you happy with your marketing?" And then everyone's shaking their head no. And then I went into, "Okay, why not? And why you should be. You deserve to be. Here's what you can do to fix it." And so that was one that I feel like I tested out that I wasn't sure if it was going to work. I still am tweaking it after the first go. Like I don't know if I'm going to work it into future presentations. So that was one. And then the second one would be actually sharing something about my story that I was too embarrassed to share for a really long time. And I think that was, it really drew a connection with the audience that I didn't realize was going to happen by being vulnerable. And that was actually about one of my first companies. I was in college, I had a music app. And the company ultimately, I raised money, did all these really cool things, but the company failed. And for years, I didn't talk about it. I was so embarrassed and ashamed. And I actually, for the first time, I was on a speaking tour, actually. A company flew me out to be on a speaking tour with them about marketing. And how I started that presentation was that company failed when I had to reflect that it failed because I didn't understand marketing. And I tied it into my whole point of if you understand and how to create a process of constantly getting customers. But I tied in my personal story. And that was one that I would say.
That's fabulous. And again, that's that vulnerability that people respond to. Really, in the end, the thing you're most afraid of, or the thing that you feel the worst about, is sometimes the thing that will absolutely pull the audience to you because they have their own personal story of failure. Everybody does. Every single person does. I love that. That is so helpful, I think. I think that is wonderful. What do you say to service-based entrepreneurs that are listening who are terrified of public speaking? What do you say to them? How can you start showing up with confidence?
Talk about something you're passionate about. Talk about something that you could talk about with your eyes closed. Like you talk about every day to your family, and now just consider you're doing that to other people, right? If you're comfortable with, if you know what you're talking about, passionate about something, no one knows if you mess up. No one tells you if you're right or wrong. It doesn't matter. You can't be scared. And I think one of the biggest things for growth in your life is overcoming things you're scared to do. And this may be one of them. I believe you, for someone who's listening to this right now, who your biggest fear is public speaking, I understand. That's not my biggest fear, but I understand the fear itself. Like, I understand it's a big fear. And when you have any fear in your life, you have to find a way to overcome it so it won't be a block for you. And the sooner the better. Just take baby steps, talk about something you love. And if you mess up, no one even knows, anyways. Don't even say you messed up. No one knows. It's okay. No one's thinking what you think, but you got to start somewhere. So even if it's a room of five people, even if it's at a dinner table and you stand up at the dinner table to say a quick message, right? Start practicing getting in front of people, because if you're in business, you're going to need to do it. You're going to need to do it.
Yeah, it's an absolute. And truthfully, the gift, there is such a gift in whatever the thing that scares you the most. It's the thing you must do because it changes everything else. The minute you have conquered a fear that was the paralyzing fear, everything else gets easier. Everything starts to flow. It's like you've unblocked the dam, you really, and it makes you more courageous in life, no matter what the fear is. If it's fear of heights, if it's fear of flying, but fear of speaking is the number one. It's only second to dying. And so if you can get past that one, it opens up the whole world for you. You're absolutely right. I love that you share that. It to everyone out there, and I completely understand because I used to have that fear. And luckily you find out, oh, this wasn't such a big deal. And by the way, and I've said this on the show many times, when you're up there on that stage, it's not about you. It's about what you're bringing to the table, what you're bringing for other people. It's the gift you give to other people. But when you get on the stage, they're for you. Everybody in the audience, they are for you. Most of them are happy it's not them up there. And so you start off in a really good place. So give it a chance. Take the risk. I think this is such a gift. Now, let's go back to something that we were talking about between the two of us prior to this show in the green room, because we've got all these entrepreneurs out there, these business leaders out there, these control freaks out there. I'm one of them, I completely understand. And overwhelmment is the word this year of people with all the tools out there, all the ability to speak globally in a heartbeat, all of the opportunities that are out there to take advantage of. And yet we feel so overwhelmed because we still feel we have to do everything. And what are we trading for the chase for money? Our time. And really, I'm going to tell you, the older you get in life, you realize time is far more important than money. I'm sorry, it just is. It's far more valuable. Money's one thing, time is another. You and I were talking about the power of VAs, the gift of VAs. Please, let's share on that subject.
Oh, this is such a great topic. I'm so glad you touched on that, because everybody, can utilize this. It's the ultimate business hack. If there's one thing and you do in your business, whether you are a single, it's just you as an entrepreneur trying to grow something, or you have a team and you're the owner, you're a leader, you're a manager, is having an assistant, specifically a virtual assistant, because they're very affordable. There was a point in time where I was growing the company and I was working like a maniac, all hours of the day, the night. I brought home work with me. It was just like affecting, it was like creeping into every part of my life. And I set a goal. I was like, I can't live like this. I have to set a boundary, and it's like I own a business and I'm working like as if I have a job. And I was like, whoa, okay. You know, I was the type of person who would go to conferences to learn, and I wasn't even paying attention to the conference because I was so busy answering emails and walking out because I had to take calls and doing this and dealing with fires. And I didn't even actually learn what I wanted to learn. The whole reason I was there, I wasn't able to grow. And so this became a huge shift for me. I'm very passionate about this topic, and it's hiring VAs, hiring people overseas to help you. And what it does is a couple different things. I have my VA. We're so synced up. She's amazing. She's been with me all of this year because I hired all different other parts of VAs for other parts of the business, and I was last. I thought about myself last. I would never do that again if I was to go back. You got to think of yourself first. Everybody, the second you have any sort of profitability, you should have a VA who could do all the things you don't like doing, all the things that weigh you down. And so my VA checks my emails. She has them cleared out for me. She responds to emails. And I'm not going to lie, she booked this podcast for me to show you how valuable it is. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And so I told her exactly what I was looking for, and she connected us. And so there's just the power of VAs are amazing. And the impact I have, like I'm really about impacting others and helping people. But overseas, for those of you who don't know, our money translates so differently over there. And so VAs are, you're talking about $5, $10, maybe $15 at the most, but you're talking, and they're producing quality work, they're college educated or whatever stigma you may have, they're good quality people, and our money goes so far over there, it changes their lives. And I don't know about you guys, but one of the reasons I got into business was to change people's lives. And so I've literally have people, I have testimonials from my VAs. They bought the first car in their family's history. They sent their sibling to college. They moved, my latest one, my guy from Brazil, amazing, my media guy, he moved his family out of a bad area in Brazil into a safe neighborhood, and enrolled his daughter into a higher education so that she could learn English from a young age, so she'll have more opportunities when she gets older. All things from being employed by me. And that feels good. Like, I've impacted these people's lives. And so everybody should have a VA, not only just for yourself selfishly, but it impacts them as well. It's a win-win.
Oh, I love that we're talking about this. I agree with you 1,000%. We used to say, this is a little side trip, but I used to say, someone said, I need a wife. I said, everybody needs a wife. All people need a wife, right? The new wife in the world is your VA. Your VA can change your life. And delegation is such a critical task now, especially for a lot of, I deal with a lot of seniors. And I'm here to tell you, it's not, we're smart, we work hard, we're willing to learn a lot of things, but are we ever going to be as fast as, like, on the tech side? I'm not quick on the tech side. I can do a lot of things. I can't do it all. But I'll tell you what, I'm not as fast as the person I hand it off to, that it's done when you look at it. So I love that we're having this conversation. And there are so many wonderful people in different countries. It expands your, not only your reach, but it expands your perspective as well. And I love that you shared about the difference you're making in the world by putting that out there, by bringing people into your circle from all over the world. That's really exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, it is very exciting. I actually have a goal. I'm going to put it out there into the universe right now, so everyone hears me, holds me accountable, is my goal is to help 100 companies, I'm on the way there, get VAs to buy back their time and also help 100 VAs have great stable jobs. So that's my goal, is to help 100 companies just unlock the biggest thing that they are lacking, which is their time, and get rid of all the things they hate doing on a day-to-day by leveraging somebody in their corner that they have.
Oh, good goal. I love that goal. I have no doubt that you will reach this goal in record time. Really, This was a powerhouse conversation. And huge thanks, Ariel, for coming on the show and dropping some really serious insight on what it really takes to scale in a service-based business. And for those that are stuck out there and feel like they're in marketing quicksand, you are available. You are out there. I love the idea that revenue over vanity. Likes don't pay the bills, but the right systems and story can. Leadership, it isn't just about managing a team. It's about building a brand that actually stands for something that is so who you are. I love how you're making a difference in the world and that part of your vision, I was blessed enough to get to see her vision board, and she's got big plans, but there's self in there too. I focused on ease. You too look for ease. You create ease for your clients, but it's a focus for you too. I think that's really helpful. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Kelly. I had a great time.
I did as well. And for everyone out there, for more about Ariel, and she's helping roofing and home service businesses scale with strategy that actually sticks, visit marketing411.com. If you want to talk to her, you can get her on all the social media. Just go to Ariel CEO on all your favorite social media channels. She's there. And you want to check out her podcast. It is so energized and energizing. I love it. Home Service Monopoly. She's interviewing top industry pros, and you'll love it. You can find her on YouTube. You'll really enjoy it. It's a high wire, fun-filled hour that you'll spend. I was noticing she doesn't do it in short little bits. She really dives in. So I love her as a podcaster. If you're tired of playing guessing games with your growth, this is a strong, valuable voice to follow. She's it. Thank you again, Ariel, for bringing realness and strategy and energy. It's what makes a difference. I hope you will come back again.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelly. It was a pleasure. And I'm just excited for everyone to continue on their journey and growth.
Well, that's what we need to do. We're spreading the message. Please help us share this episode with someone. Subscribe, that always helps. Share it with someone who needs to hear it. Let us know what resonated for you. We love to hear what lands. That's really important. This show is really about public speaking and powerful messaging. It can really unlock new levels of business for you, and it's great for your confidence as well. And that translates across the board. Thanks, everybody, for being here, especially to you, Ariel. I loved having you. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.